And now another conversation that's coming up later this hour. We want to note that at least one guy is happy about the NFL's current troubles and scandals. Writer Steve Almond says football has gone well beyond the two-minute warning. He says it's game over.
The truth is, to get good at the game, you essentially have to suppress your empathy, and you have to become good at expressing aggression and violence in a controlled way. There's no defensive coach out there who says, now, kid, you're a strong safety. When the tight end comes over the middle, I want you to, before you hit him, I want you to think about that. That's a human being. He has a family. You could really injure him. That's not how it works in football.
Steve Almond's book, Against Football, was published in late August, just as the Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson scandals were starting to explode. Almond has been fanning the flames on public radio and everywhere else on his book tour. The NFL scandals, in any case, have started a big national conversation, and you're a part of it.
This is Jill from West Valley City. I think that sports do not teach values. I think it's a myth. I think that it magnifies characteristics that you already have, so that if you're a poor sport or whatever, you're going to be even bigger poor sport when you get into organized sports.
It gives us a sense of constructive violence. It builds both a sense of self and of being a part of a team. Best of all, it's fun.
That's Chris from upstate New York. Caleb in Joplin, Missouri, says the NFL is a poor dramatization of the true spirit of competitive athletics. I refuse to watch or support it. Through wrestling as a child, through adulthood, I learned the value of self-discipline and sacrifice. We learned about developing character and virtue and respecting our opponent. This is rarely modeled in professional sports today.
This is Gil from St. Louis. I personally have been shaped in a positive way by sports. They help me with discipline, understanding the necessity and results of training or performance, and the importance of teamwork.
This is Justin from Texas, and I think there's some important concepts of teamwork that sports can teach, but the way we glorify professional athletes presents a distorted view that can end up being more detrimental and can end up superseding the positive aspects that team sports can bring.
This is Rhonda from Charleston, South Carolina. Until I was 30, I never played competitive sports. As a child, I played neighborhood games of all kinds and even made-up games. Sports are a great way to teach how to work together as a team and how to win and lose with grace. Let's not judge all athletes by the poor judgment and character of a few.
I like Rhonda's ideas. Keep the kids away from competitive sports and have the adults start at age 30. But Jill's comment was my favorite from West L.A. Sports don't teach values. It's a myth. It magnifies characteristics you already have. A poor sport is going to be a bigger poor sport in organized competitive athletics. So we've got the current woman-beating running back and the child-beating running back. A few years back, there was the dog-torturing quarterback and the sexual-assaulting quarterback, a murdering tight end, and then there was that celebrity running back, O.J. Simpson, who didn't kill his wife and also did kill his wife. Yes, it's football season once again, and did I mention concussions and head injuries? Here's a fan in Beltsville, Maryland, describing her weariness about all this. I've always enjoyed being a chick who watches sports and surprising dudes with my knowledge. But this year, being a woman, I feel so underrepresented and undervalued by the NFL bigwigs that I've become disenchanted by the whole game. Well, we reached out to someone to help remind us that the troubled NFL cannot erase the deeper historical identity of football and its unassailable place in American life. Mark Edmondson, University of Virginia professor of English, makes this argument in his new book, Why Football Matters, My Education in the Game.
To put it in a very basic terms, it helped me grow up. I was kind of a, you know, archetypal high school mess. I was, you know, overweight, undercommitted, and kind of spinning from one thing to another. And I took myself out for football, and I developed a little bit of bodily strength and speed, and I got a little more confident and generated a little more power of loyalty to my teammates. And it did good things for me, as I think it has done for a lot of young men.
And in your case, remind us of the position that you played and the heroic moments that you were able to have, because most football players, you know, dream of the moments, and we don't all get them.
No, I played the glamour position, right guard and occasionally left guard, which, you know, in which your job is to block, and then the next play you block, and then the next play you block some more. And I wasn't even all that good at it. But what I did learn to do was to get better, just a little bit at a time by working pretty hard. And I found that what I learned about getting better at football, even though the coaches didn't notice, they darn well should have, transferred pretty well over into other areas of life where it was necessary to get better at one thing or another.
And what is it about football that makes it different from basketball, in your view, or, you know, soccer or any of the other sports that people play in high school and maybe go on to see in professional sports on television?
Well, I think in football, the development of resiliency goes on a pretty literal level, you know. I mean, Tim Green says the thing about football is that you get knocked down and you get up. You get knocked down, you get up. You get knocked down and you get up. And that can transfer over into your other walks of life where you're constantly getting knocked out and need to get up. Now, you know, admittedly, in basketball or tennis, you get pushed to the wall and you need to come back. But in football, it's literal. You really do taste the ground. And for some people of a denser disposition, that's probably me in high school, the literalness helps.
You know, you talk about the real football players in this book. Football players were hitters. At the center of our education through football, we were taught to have the capacity for violence. It was instilled in us or coaxed out of us. Guys who clearly didn't like to hit were always looked at askance. Was that tough to learn? And isn't it interesting how the NFL seems to be moving away from that in the current sort of scandal and notion of concussions? It's almost at odds with the core values of the game that you're talking about here.
Yeah, it was very hard to learn how to hit in high school football, especially for me. I was a timid boy, and I was afraid of getting hurt. And I sort of built up my resolve through a couple of complex methods. And eventually I was able to tackle and block as well as the next guy, or a little less well than the next guy. But one of the things I did learn is that if you bring the momentum, you're less likely to get hurt than if you stand there like Raggedy Ann or Raggedy Andy and take it. As far as the NFL is concerned, they are trying to cut back, but it is still pretty fast and pretty violent out there.
How is fandom different from being a player in football, in your view?
That's a great question. I hesitate to generalize about fans because I think that almost every fan has an individual relationship to the game.
Although you do generalize, you say in this book, and it's amazing to me, say it twice, your average fan has 24 heroes they can name of active NFL players. 24. You say it twice.
You got me.
Yeah.
I plead guilty.
But I believed it. You know, I didn't go, that's ridiculous. It actually might be true.
Oh, I think so. And I think one of the things that speaks to, interestingly to me, is a sort of dearth of heroes in the rest of culture. So that one of the reasons the NFL players get inflated to the degree that they do is that people have a hard time finding heroes outside of sports. I mean, who are our military heroes? Who are our heroes in the realm of thought? Who are our heroes in the realm of saintliness or commitment to collective values? So that people begin to make out of NFL players something that they are not, heroes. I mean, they're brave, but they're a braver people. They're daring, but there are more daring people. But we don't make contact with those people in our culture, and we're skeptical about their existence. So we transfer a lot of this hero worship to football players and take it away from realms where maybe it was more rightly put.
Do you think that's why some of these scandals, and we don't need to go into any detail, sting so much in terms of what's going on right now in the NFL?
I think they sting a lot because of the tremendous investment in the game and the players. And I think also that people just don't want to question that investment of heroism in these guys. And it has an effect on the players, I think. It makes them feel like they're kings and queens, are kings, when they're just football players. And it makes them perhaps, behave in ways that they find regrettable later on. Since these guys have been 10 years old, people have been telling them that they're godlike because they can knock down another kid or catch a football. That's not going to be good for your ego overall.
If your boys were like 8 or 9 years old and they were observing these scandals in the NFL, what would you tell a young person about what to take or ignore about everything that's going on in the NFL right now?
I guess I would say take them seriously, very seriously. Brood on the fact that some of this misbehavior may be the direct result of football, but also don't take what's up closest to your nose to be the ultimate story. As time passes, we're going to gain perspective on these particular stories, and we're going to be able to put them in their place. To what degree are they representative of football? To what degree representative of individuals? And to what degree, and I'm thinking particularly of this issue of spousal violence, indicative of some larger tendency in American culture that's being made manifest through the game of football.
Do you think the religious aspect of football is overplayed on the professional level based on how you understand faith on the gridiron in your own experience?
You know, I do, and this has been one of the most controversial parts of my book so far. Just about everybody I know who is a Christian and loves football tells me that football is a Christian game. But try as I might, as I read through the Gospels, I don't see any kind of encouragement for blocking, tackling, or any kind of violence at all. Jesus preaches peace and forgiveness. Jesus preaches turning the other cheek. And his doctrine is a counterpoint to the doctrine of the Roman Empire, which is developing at the time, where the values, which is much closer, the Roman Empire, to the values of the football field. So when people tell me that football is a Christian game, I'm left scratching my head.
Maybe that's not the controversy. It's you're suggesting that Jesus would have been a field goal kicker as opposed to a quarterback.
Yeah, I kind of think that Jesus would boycott the game and find something else to do.
Yeah, I think you might be right there. Mark Edmondson, thanks so much.
Thank you. Really great questions. I appreciate it.
Mark Edmondson is a professor at the University of Virginia, professor of English, and author of Why Football Matters, My Education in the Game. Yeah, right. What position would Jesus play?
I think that sports definitely impact a person's character. And sports are huge in children's lives. And I think that they make a really big difference between kids on the streets and kids who are educated and have something to stand for.
Got anything to say about all this football scandal business? That comment was from South Florida. She called us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can send us a tweet at The Takeaway. Catch up on that conversation. Listen back to anything on the program at thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.